everyone. Welcome to Curiosity Killed the Cat. We're three curious friends.
That's us.
I'm Christy.
I'm Nash.
I'm Yvette. We'll be talking about all things paranormal, supernatural, creepy, spooky, and anything that makes you say, what the f***? Hi, ladies. How are you today?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Naya. How's it going?
Oh, you know, here, safe, in my closet.
We just want to let our listeners know that we are socially distancing, so we are not recording per usual. We usually record in my home, in my living room, all three of us together. But Naya is actually at home in her studio, which is her closet. And Christy and I, since we're neighbors and we see each other on a daily basis, we're here together in my living room. But if there's a little bit of a difference in our audio, that's why Naya's on. She's calling us. So that's how we're able to record this week's episode. Yeah. So stay safe, guys, and wear your mask and socially distance if you can, please.
Don't be a Karen.
Karen, who?
You guys, we've gotten such great feedback on Frank's episode on part one and part two.
Yes, thank you all for tuning in. If you haven't heard him, please go back and listen to episode 7 and then episode 8 because it's really interesting.
Yeah,
Frank is such a great character. Yeah, it was a fun podcast. And it's really interesting.
Yeah,
Frank is such a great character. Yeah, it was a fun podcast. And then Nichelle gave us a backstory that she forgot. And then it was pretty cool. I really liked that episode.
Yeah, it was an amazing episode. Also, shout out to Dylan, who's one of Frank's coworkers, who sent me a message today. We've gone.
Woo!
Yeah, clink, clink to Dylan.
Go, Dylan.
Woo! Gather that info. I can't wait to hear all your guys' stories. He was mentioning that he actually does sometimes work in night shift. And he says that he notices that's when a lot of the activity picks up. So I was like, start writing it all down. Gather all the details. We need to huddle later.
But we need to go to their location and just leave notebooks around with pencils everywhere.
Yeah, we
need in case it comes to you.
Yeah. We've gotten a lot of listeners who have reached out to us on Instagram and they have mentioned like, hey, I know a friend of a friend who has a story.
Oh, I know.
And then I have a cousin, I have a niece, and you know, now Frank's coworkers are reaching out to us. And then Lily had an old coworker. Her name's Jackie. She also reached out to us and told us that she played with the spirit board and she was trying to contact her deceased grandfather. And
dang, Jackie.
You got a lot of curious people out here.
Yeah, a lot of curious cats out there. And her story is nuts. But if you guys are really, really down, please let us know. And we would love to set up a call and get your story from you, and then if you let us, we'll go ahead and air it. I'm sure a lot of people are curious to hear everybody else has to say.
Yeah, and then if you don't want your voice on here for some reason, which some people don't, which is understandable, you can always write to us. Feel free to contact us on Instagram or our email. Either way, a story is a story, and we do enjoy reading them.
Yeah, it's
right. And sometimes until you bring up the subject is when a relative, you know, people are getting together right now, well, in small groups, but they're getting together. So if you ask around, a lot of people that you don't know had encounters already, they'll say, oh yeah, in my house they did this and this, and stories will come out.
Yeah, if you want something to talk about at Thanksgiving besides politics, bring up the Curious Cat podcast and then start talking about ghost stories.
That is true. That is.
Give you guys a topic to talk about, guys, okay? Get your mind off of the politics.
Hey, you might learn something about one of your family members that you did not know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. In a good way, not politics.
Yeah, totally. All right. I want to jump right into my story. I'm not going to, you know, hang on and chit chat, because I was telling Christy and I was also telling Dylan in the message on Instagram that this story made me second guess if I want to continue recording the podcast. Because I know. And it's because of what happened. And I'll go ahead and pause the story when the incident happened in the story. I was telling my son the story just so, you know, I can get a feel for it and see if I needed to correct anything. And when in the middle of the story, something happened and I just, it literally made me second guess, like, okay, I don't think this is something that I want to continue doing. I think it's especially something because I think I'm more sensitive to these things to happen to me. And I feel the more we speak about it or myself, I feel like the more I'm attracting it. And when I was single and alone, I didn't care, but I do feel like it's not just affecting me. I think it's affecting, obviously, the home where my children live. And even my one-year-old woke up in the middle of the night at 3:06, and I was like, oh, hell no. So it's, yeah. It really did make me second guess, like, okay, is this something that I really want to continue doing? Because it scared the shit out of me. Like, I'm not going
to
lie.
Well, we're going to leave it to our Instagrammers to vote if Yvette can.
Ah, shut up.
What happened? Wait, hold on. Say that again.
What?
What'd you say, girl?
Can you say that one more time?
Oh, yeah. And I said, and also, this is why I'm recording from home now.
Oh, God.
Whatever.
You punk. She's like, forget COVID. I'm afraid of bringing Yvette's spirit home.
COVID slash goat.
Ghost, yeah. All right, so we'll do a poll.
We'll do a poll. You guys vote that Yvette has to stick around. Just kidding. Actually, I don't blame her because she's gotten.
I thought you guys were gonna say. What? I thought you guys were gonna say do a poll. Why I really am recording from home because of the ghost of COVID.
No, you're not that important.
No, bro, no one cares.
I'll do that poll, guys.
All right, you let us know how it goes. All right, guys. So this story is a paranormal case of Estefania Gutierrez Lázaro. It takes place in 1992 in Madrid, Spain. Ooh, and what's really unique about the story is that it's significantly more scary than your typical Ouija board story because the events that took place in the late summer of 1992 were documented by local police officials. Their police reports documented the paranormal activity that occurred and remains to this day the first official report in Spain to ever document paranormal activity.
Wow.
I know. That's what got me. I was like, oh, okay, this shit is legit.
They got real?
This shit is legit. Yeah, because come on. What police officers? They're very logical thinkers, logical, yes. You know? They're it's like yes. Evidence.
Factual.
Exactly. So Estefania Gutierrez Lázaro went to school on any other ordinary day on March of 1991.
Sorry, do we have her age?
She was 17.
Got it.
Yeah.
Ooh, she's a curious cat at 17.
Yeah, she's in high school. So like I said, she went to school. It was a normal day like any other. And partway through her school day, she and a group of friends decided to break away from their normal routine school activities, and they decided to go and play with the Ouija board that a friend had snuck into the school that day. Estefania's sister, Marianela, was allegedly part of this group, but she didn't play that game that day. She was the lookout. She was supposed to...
I'll always be the lookout.
I know. Marianela was tasked with being the lookout to make sure that nobody would walk in and interrupt the game. Well, this bitch got distracted because halfway through the game, they were playing, a teacher burst into the room and she caught them and she snatched the board away from them. But the unique thing that the girls were not using a planchette, which is that triangle that normally you
play. Oh, yes. The little circle with the eye.
With the magnifying glass. Okay, yeah. Okay. They were using an upside down glass.
Oh,
okay. Right. Oh. Yeah, so that's how they were moving about on the board. So the teacher bursts in on them, and she sees what they're doing, so she snatches the board away from them.
I mean, like, we need to close the game correctly, teacher.
Right? Yeah. Give me a minute. Yeah. Well, no, that didn't happen. She snatched the board game away from them, causing the glass to shatter on the ground. Well, when this happened, according to everyone in the group, they noticed that there was a small amount of smoke that came up from the broken glass, and unintentionally, Estefania inhaled it.
Oh.
Yes. After the girls were caught, they went about their day, but the girls did notice immediate changes in Estefania's behavior after that incident.
Uh-oh.
Though they started off small, they escalated very quickly. She began by suffering from insomnia, and when she was able to sleep, she had horrible nightmares. And she would describe that there was a shadow creature calling to her in her dreams. I know, that's trippy.
Oh, man.
Some days she didn't even need to sleep in order to hear this voice. She began telling her family that she could see the shadowy figure in every single room that she was in.
Oh, my gosh.
And in the hallway of her home. She also started falling into a trance, and they would last between 15 to 20 minutes, according to her mother.
Como que trance? What do you think?
Like,
that
she
was?
Would just like
hypnotized.
She would just zone out. Like, she was just like a zombie. Like,
oh, like in your own world. Like, you're just not even.
Yeah, and it would last 15 to 20 minutes. And her mother, like, they tried to figure out what was wrong, and they couldn't find out.
Oh my god.
So
goodness.
Her parents took her to several hospitals, and according to the doctors, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She saw countless of specialists at four different medical centers, but each time she went, the doctors could find nothing. These symptoms began to worsen each passing day. Objects in the apartment started to move around on their own. The electronics started to turn off and on by themselves. Unseen forces became violent, not only towards Estefania, but to her siblings and other members and her parents as well. Doors began to slam violently, and they began to lock on their own. Her parents both saw a shadowy figure also in several rooms of the house.
Oh, so now they're seeing it. Oh, my God.
And various guests that lived outside of the home, when they would come and visit, they would also see items move, doors slam, and they would also see the shadowy figure in the house. When things
They are taking over.
Yeah, there was multiple witnesses, not just the family, multiple witnesses who saw these things happen in the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Dang. I know.
Imagine going to your friend's house, visiting, you know, and all of a sudden you start seeing shit move around.
No, like, girl.
I gotta go, girl.
Yeah, peace out.
Girl, you wouldn't visit me? We've been friends for so long.
No, I would visit you from outside.
That's not a visit.
Well, her younger siblings also said that they would wake up with their arms being slammed against the wall. Her parents saw their family dog thrown across the room by an invisible force. He was okay, though.
Oh, my God.
I know. Imagine something you see your dog flying across the living room. Isn't that so sad?
Oh, my gosh. No.
And in one occasion, Estefania's sister, Marianela, was shoved by something. She couldn't tell what it was, but she felt herself being shoved. Marianela, who shared a room with Estefania, also claims to wake up in the middle of the night and seeing Estefania levitating from the bed.
No, girl.
Yes, girl. Yes.
That sounds like a poltergeist, no?
Well, whatever. She's
really violent.
Well, they were playing with the Ouija board.
But can you imagine waking up and you see your sibling like levitating off the bed? And I'm assuming she's asleep.
Yeah, she was sleeping.
Oh, no.
Levitating from the bed.
Girl, what would you do? What would you do if you woke up? You that you have, you know, you're close to your sister. What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Despair that the bitch. What are you doing?
What would you do if you see your sister levitate? Oh, no.
All right. So Estefania began attacking her siblings. She would become irritable and aggressive, and she would bark and growl at her younger brother. And on one occasion, she attacked her sister so badly that the girl ended up on the floor foaming at the mouth. So you might be
asking, I don't want to think about it.
Do things get worse after this?
I'm going to go with yes.
Oh, yeah, they do. Estefania began to have seizures. They began early, but they grew very severe. She suffered a powerful seizure that caused her to slip into a coma from one she never woke up.
She
passed away
kid.
A few hours later. And as mentioned before, the doctors could never find an explanation to her death.
And how old was she when she passed?
She was 18 when she passed away. Oh,
so it was shortly after.
Yeah, she played with the Ouija board in March, and she passed away that summer.
We'll keep going because I was going to say what happened after she passed, but I guess you're going to
tell us. Yeah, we'll continue. Everyone would often hear glass breaking and a man's laughter. So I'm going to pause, and this is where, as I was reading this part to Isaac, letting him know that the family would hear glass breaking and a man's laughter. As soon as I said that, are you okay? Christy's microphone popped
up. I got scared, so I like tried to cover myself with my blanket, but I knocked over the mic.
Okay, so As soon as I mentioned this to Isaac, as I mentioned earlier, I was running the story through Isaac to kind of just test the length of the story or whatever. As soon as I said that the family would often hear glass breaking and a man's laughter, there was a loud knock on my living room window. And right after, we heard glass breaking outside of our house.
So you both, okay, hold on.
Yes, we both heard it.
And you both heard it?
We both heard it.
And was there a car accident outside or what happened?
No, as soon as it happened, I played it off because I didn't want Isaac to freak out.
You didn't
want to
startle him, yeah.
Right, he's only 8. But he had, his eyes were so big and he looks at me, he says, "You heard that, right?" And I said, "Yeah, I heard that." He's like, "I don't want to hear it anymore." He's like, "It's too scary." He's like, what was that?
It sounds like a great story, but I have to go to bed.
Yeah. <You're stupid>. Yeah. And I got up and I walked outside. There was nothing outside. There was nobody outside. And it was just like a light fog.
When did this happen?
Yesterday.
Just last night?
Yes.
Because like I walked every day and I did walk the neighborhood and our driveway. I did not see any broken glass anywhere.
No, it was like at 10:30
anywhere on our street.
Night. Yeah. You could hear clear. Glass breaking, something breaking outside.
Right when you were talking about this story.
Right when I said it. It could be coincidence, whatever, but something knocked on our living room window.
And you were both genuinely scared. And yes. It doesn't get scared easily, as we've heard from past episodes.
Yeah, and as soon as that happened, that totally freaked me out. So then after, I don't finish telling him the story. He doesn't want to hear it.
I don't blame him. I'm surprised you got that far.
I know. I go into the living room. I go into the kitchen. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to distract myself, preoccupy myself. And I'm washing the dishes. And then the lids to my trash can, I don't even remember them being open, but they start to close. And I'm like, there's two little flaps, like a left and a right. And it's like something popped it open and then it closed.
Girl. Yeah, this is an automatic lid, right?
You there's have to step pedal. On the bottom.
Yeah, there's a pedal on my trash can. In order, you press the pedal of the trash can and the two little lids open up and you dump your trash and then they fall down slowly. Well, the trash can lids were falling like something had opened them and they were closing.
Holy no.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this is why I was like, yeah, girl. Like, I don't know about this podcast and this fucking story.
Dang.
Yeah, it really tripped me out, but I was genuinely scared and I slept with the light on. I barely got any sleep. I was too scared to go to sleep.
And then Max woke up shortly.
And then
after,
I went finally did my thing. I got distracted. I went to bed around 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I felt like, okay, I was finally dozing off. And then Max, who's my baby, he's a year old, he started wailing, just screaming, crying. And I thought, okay, like, what the fuck? Like, what time is it? And I thought to myself, it better not be 3:00. And it was 3:06.
Oh my gosh. So what happened when you went? Yeah. What? So it wasn't his usual cry, because usually they.
Yeah, it's not a normal like whimper, you know. No, this was like scared, like a scared cry. And I don't think I've told you guys this, but.
Oh, great.
It trips me out because I feel like there's something that bothers him at night. Because mm-hmm. I also saw, he has a blue, a really thick blanket in his crib. It's green. It's kind of like those Mexican blankets. But crib size, right?
Okay.
It's green. It's thick. And there's rails in his crib. And he always sleeps with it. Like. He loves that blanket. He literally rolls himself in it and like cocoons himself in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time I woke up several weeks ago and I checked the baby monitor and he's crying and he's pulling his blanket, trying to pull his blanket into the crib.
Like almost. So the blanket like, was went like, through the crib.
Like he's playing tug of war with something.
What?
Yes. Like he's literally tugging at his blanket, crying because he's trying to get it back in his crib.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck? So I go in and I grab him and I grab his blanket and I bring him to my bed. But it totally tripped me out because he wouldn't throw it out of this crib. And it's like, how would he get it out? and then yeah. like pull, try to pull it back in. It tripped me out. Like,
no, usually no.
No, he's never done that because really... he likes to cover his face and he likes it to be completely dark.
Yeah, but even like, I mean, you know, when you have a baby and a crib and a blanket,
yeah,
the blanket doesn't halfway fall through. I don't think that's ever happened. How would
it
get out?
It literally
exactly looks... unless he's literally like pushing it through, but that's gonna take a few minutes.
And yeah, and it was like Max it was really that. Early in the morning, but it literally looked like he was playing tug of war with something, trying to pull. Literally, he was trying to get the blanket back in his crib because it was outside of the crib.
Oh no, girl. I know you mentioned before that you wanted to do like a cleaning in your house. Do you feel
yeah,
like
why don't we do that? Yeah, I'm going to do the smudging, but obviously there's a proper way to do it. I'm going to go tomorrow to a botanica that I know locally, and I'm going to go get my supplies and I'm going to do it. But it really tripped me out. You know what I mean? Like yesterday was you know, usually I'm like, okay, but this felt different. I also think it's because of the story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the podcast, like you have been having more, just more activity in general.
Yes, I think there's more activity. And then yesterday, Max waking up like screaming. And for sure, we need a sage. I need a smudge, but I need to do it when I feel not fearful. I need to do it out of courage and I need to get in the right mindset, and I'm not. Like, I'm still a little shaken up by what happened and what's been happening, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's been more scary. Yeah.
And like anything any big thing you're gonna do, like they say, get in the right mindset, because if you're in the wrong mindset, it might just throw things out of whack. Make sure we're not in retrograde.
Yeah,
just kidding.
For real.
But another thing I wanted to bring up now that we're talking about staging and stuff, mm-hmm. is I don't know too much about stones, but I have been wanting to get more knowledge on them. I mean, I've been given stones, but I've never actually gone to a store. I've never picked a stone. And then they say you're supposed to re-energize them or regenerate them when the
moon
is
full. Yeah, you recharge them.
Recharge them.
Yeah.
With the moonlight. Do you have stones?
I do have some stones upstairs, but...
Have you ever done the recharging or...
No, I've never done that. They're just in... I have this little, like... trinket dish, and it looks like two little palms, and I just leave them there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I would love to go to a store. That'd be interesting. Yeah. Maddie, are you down? Post COVID?
Any of our listeners? Oh, after COVID, yes. But if any of our listeners know anything about crystals or have any suggestions for Yvette or for any of us, you know, that'd be great if we can get your input.
Yes, if you can find any way to keep us safe and sound during these podcasting times and keep Yvette, our producer,
yes, guys,
still involved because
tips and tricks, please let me know.
If you know any crystal stores that do curbside pickup, that'd be great.
We need to Google it, and I'd be down to go take a look. Really interesting.
It'll keep us all on board, and that's what we would love ultimately. Otherwise, episode 9 and our final episode is here.
Yeah, season 1, episode 9, final episode.
And they were never heard from again.
Yeah. What happened? All right, so let's continue with the story.
All right.
Everyone, like I was mentioning earlier, before I really interrupted with my story, everyone would often hear glass breaking and a man's menacing laughter. And her siblings would often be awoken with scratches and shoves by whatever was in the house haunting them. 2 years after her death, a portrait of Estefania that was hanging in the living room wall fell and caught on fire. The creepy part about this is that the picture was obviously behind a glass. Are you okay?
It's because it gives me like
the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
So the picture was behind glass.
Sorry, I'm over here twitching, guys.
So the picture was behind glass, and the only portion of this picture that was burned was her face. And I showed Christy the picture of the photo.
This picture makes no sense because the glass is fine.
Yes.
Her face is burnt off, but none of the rest of the picture is burnt.
And it's behind glass, as you can see. I'll post pictures of this on Instagram, you guys, so you guys can see what I'm talking about.
It just wouldn't make sense that nothing else would catch on fire. And pictures, like,
the whole thing would catch fire.
The
so
chemicals.
Quickly.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be super highly flammable?
Yeah. But it's just her face, like, a line. seared through her face.
No, that does not.
I'm seeing the picture right now, and you're right. It does. It doesn't make sense. It's the portrait, almost like a passport picture that's taken of her. So you just see her face, but it's
blown up. It's like a sheet of paper. It's like 8x12, 8x13 picture.
No, but I mean the way that she's just standing there.
Oh yeah, it's in a white background, mm-hmm. And it's just her face.
I just can't imagine.
Half of it is burned off. I almost feel like you would have to, which I know it's not what they did, but I feel like you would have to get the picture and put a lighter underneath to be able to burn it that specific way that it was.
Oh shit! Maybe that's what true. The spirit did. Demon spirit.
I don't know, but it's trippy. So,
I just can't imagine this girl, even after death, she's still...
Girl, it gets worse. Yes.
Oh, my God.
So the family had had enough. They had enough. They reached a boiling point. 2 years it's been going on. They didn't have the means to move out of the apartment. So they've been living and suffering through this for 2 years. The shoving, the slamming of the doors, being thrown across the way. And they said that the activity would be the worst in the bathroom in their home.
What? Yeah. Oh, that sucks because you have to go to the bathroom at one point.
Yeah, and they wouldn't use their bathroom just, I guess in Spain, you don't use your bathroom just to go to the bathroom. They would iron their clothing there. Oh. It's like storage. And so they would have to frequently go into that area. The temperature would drop there and it would just be the worst activity would happen in there.
Oh,
yeah. So the family reached a boiling point when the activity just wouldn't cease. So they called the police one night. Concepcion, Estefania's mother, called the police on November 19th of 1992, screaming, "Please come quick. He's here. He's here." It's unclear to the police who she meant, but the police operator describes her sounding very, very panicked.
Yes.
When they got there, she had calmed down enough to explain to them what was going on in her home. They spoke to all of the members of the family individually, including the kids, and they all told the exact same story of what was happening in their house. The police took the kids out, put them in the patrol car,
Then
the parents stayed inside. So the police did a walkthrough of their home to see what had been occurring, what she was talking about. As they walk in the apartment, they notice that all the crosses in the apartment, because at this point, the family had nailed a whole bunch of crosses in the house to kind of tame what had been going on.
Hoping that it would maybe steer them a different way.
Calm it down. Yeah. But okay. All the crosses were upside down or inverted.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait. So it wasn't like that until the cops arrived?
No, they walked in and they noticed like all the crosses were like inverted, like upside down.
Which that's against gravity, right? Because technically if you...
Well, no, if you nail something, you can flip it, right? It's just like a piece
of wood. You can turn it.
You can turn it. I'm sure it's not. I'm not like a picture frame, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I figured like a picture frame.
Yeah. So they noticed that the crosses were like inverted upside down and that there were scratches on the wall. So the police started, they stated that they were very skeptical because they didn't really believe the parents. Like, okay, anybody can scratch a wall and flip the crosses. They did the walkthrough kind of to kind of shut them up and appease them because they said we had other cases going on and we wanted to get to those. And we just kind of wanted to just, okay, we were here,
we did our due diligence. Bye-bye.
Right. So the lead detective, his name was Detective Jose Pedro Negri. He documented in his police report that they did what she asked. They walked through the house and that they didn't see anything going on. So the mother, Concepcion, mm-hmm. and the dad, Maximo, he was there too. They begged him. They said, please turn the lights off. Please turn the lights off so you can see what is really going on because it gets worse when the lights are off. So to kind of please her and kind of, again, shut her up, mm-hmm. they turned the lights off. Well, as soon as the lights were off, he recounts that the banging began in the apartment. The officers immediately turned the lights back on, and to their surprise, the parents were standing right next to them. They thought they turned the lights off, and the parents ran, started banging.
Yeah,
but no, they were right next to them. So they were like, what the fuck is going on? And the children weren't in the home. They were in the patrol car. So they were like, okay, like it couldn't have been anybody in the family. They're all either next to us or outside. So a loud banging and loud screaming was noticed by all the officers, the detective, and the two parents, and they noticed that it was coming from the master bedroom. So they started walking towards the master bedroom, and as they started walking to the bedroom, they walk in, and they notice that the banging and the screaming is getting louder, and it's coming from the balcony. The detective, along with two officers that were with him, they walk to the balcony to see what's going on, and when they reach the balcony, the screaming and the banging stopped.
Oh, gosh.
The two officers returned to the kitchen, which... And then one of them yelled, "Duck!" The other did duck just in time before a heavy cupboard door slammed open right where his head would have been if he hadn't ducked.
Damn. Wow. They're going to get a taste of what's really going on.
Yeah. This was enough for the officers, and they told the detective that we're going to step outside and they were going to wait for him outside. Because it was too much. I know. So Detective Negri and one officer continued to search the home to see what was causing the sounds. They found nothing. Instead, more banging and a lot of commotion coming from different rooms and especially Estefania's old bedroom. Mm. They entered the room and they saw that a cross was ripped off the wall, which was previously bolted to the wall, and that the Jesus figure that was on the cross was ripped off of it.
Dang.
The cross was, like I said, previously bolted to the wall under a poster, and the poster was torn and scratched to pieces.
Man, this is one angry spirit.
Yeah, Negri walked into their bathroom and noticed a severe drop in temperature, and Negri and the parents all heard whispering voices within the bathroom walls.
I know, trivia, huh?
I wonder if anybody was using her room. I don't think so, huh? Because I bet you there was
a lot of activity. Well, the sister lived in it.
Yeah, well, the sister was sharing the room with her. Oh, and after
the sister was still in the room?
I'm assuming she probably still slept
there. Yeah, I'm sure she still slept there. But during the time that the police was searching, everyone was outside of the house except for the parents.
Because it was an apartment. I doubt it was like a mansion. Oh, I'm going to
use a different room. It's a tiny apartment. There's pictures, and it's a small apartment. So having heard and experiencing enough, the detective called it a night, and he was like, okay, we got to go. He called the operator and told the operator that the activity that was going on that she said on her call was true.
Oh, man.
So he then filed an official report and stated that he had no explanation for what was happening in that house, but that something definitely was happening, making it the first and only time in Spain's history where a member of law enforcement has written about paranormal activity in their official police report. Eventually, the family found the means to move away, and according to them, the activity didn't follow them.
Oh,
I know. And damn. The new family that moved into their old apartment never reported any activity at all.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just done.
It was just done. They moved away and it was
completely. I would be so mad at myself. I'd be like, I should have moved away a long time ago.
But they didn't have the means to move.
Oh, that's true.
Girl, so, you live in your car.
I thought not with like four kids with you. But I want this, let this be a reminder to let the spirits rest in peace. And if you don't contact them, they won't contact you. And if you can't resist to have a conversation, always, always say goodbye.
Yes. You got to always end it.
End goodbye. It correctly. You have to close off whatever it is that you're opening up, or else that shit's going to come and haunt you.
And if you did have a conversation and did not end it correctly, you contact us at the
podcast. Curiosity Killed the Cat podcast, and we want to document your experience.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so what do you guys think? That's 2 years of putting up with this crap.
That's intense.
I know.
I can't imagine. That's a nightmare, 100%. And then their daughter's gone, too.
Yeah, their daughter died. There was some people thought, okay, she died of carbon monoxide poisoning because they say it tends to cause hallucinations, seizures, and things like that. But doctors were never able to find that. And people are saying, okay, if she died of carbon monoxide poisoning, wouldn't her sister be sick?
Yeah, everybody
as well?
Would be. Right. Would
everybody in the house be sick and hallucinating too? Well, obviously they're seeing things, but none of them are dying. The doctors to this day don't know how she died. They think, oh, maybe it was heart failure, but she was young. She was 18 years old when she passed away.
She's way too young.
Really young. So they they don't know what happened. It's unexplained. But she died, like, it only lasted a few months. She died within that summer.
No, I think it definitely, that spirit had just fucked with them so much and messed her up. Probably mentally and emotionally also, like, I don't know. I think if I was that badly haunted, and imagine you can't even sleep.
Yeah, the insomnia, it's exhausting.
And you're levitating when you're asleep. You're goodbye. I think I'm done with this life. I don't know. I just can't imagine.
You just don't know. You just don't know, right? Yeah. It's like that movie Insidious. I don't know if you have seen it. The little boy, he astral projects while he's sleeping. Well, he goes too far while he's astral projecting to another dimension, which is like, you know, like, wow, it's called The Further. I believe that's what it's called, The Further, which is where the demons and the bad spirits lie. So he gets stuck out there. And there is a demon who's trying to get his soul. And the boy is just lost. He slips into a coma. But mentally, like, in his soul, it's lost. But his parents just see he slipped into a coma. The doctors can't explain what's wrong with him. So they take him back home. And the little boy, like, is just lost. But he's fighting to not have his soul taken by this demon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's something like that. You know what I mean? She slipped into the coma and she just couldn't fight it off.
Oh.
I don't know. It could be. It just reminded me of that movie, Insidious. Yeah. But if you guys are curious and want to watch this, the movie, they made a movie about her story.
They did.
It's called Veronica and it's on Netflix. But obviously they juiced it up a little bit. Of course. And
yes.
The phone call that the mom placed was years after, but on the Netflix documentary, they play it like she called during what all of this stuff was going on and her daughter was still alive. So,
well, that's the thing about when they remake true cases, based on true events?
Yeah.
But
they beef it up.
Yeah. And they'll put the events in different orders and how it really happened.
To make it more juicy. And in the Veronica, her dad's dead, but he didn't die. He was still alive when this was going on. So just do your own research and don't believe completely the story that's on Netflix, but it's just bits and pieces of, it's based off her story and it's bits and pieces. And it was like the most scariest movie you've ever seen on Netflix. That's what it says.
But did you watch the movie?
I didn't watch it. I tried watching it, but I didn't feel like.
I think after you do your own research and you see a little bit more like what was reported that really happened, and you kind of watching the movie is probably not as interesting.
Yeah, no. And also, like, after doing all of this, like, true crime ghost stuff, now I used to love watching that stuff, like true crime, unsolved mysteries. Yeah, you know, 48 hours. I don't watch that anymore because I feel like it's mentally exhausting and I need like a break from all the gore and the blood and all that. So now I watch like free, like non-thinking TV, you know, like Survivor.
I thought you were gonna say Free Willy.
You know, just like, yeah, like just stupid TV where you don't really have to think and it's not all about that.
Yeah. You know, Survivor's a good show.
It is a good show, but I would remember, I would stay up watching all these true crime. I was like, oh, I need a podcast story.
I agree, yes.
And
yes,
it's like, no, I need to shut it off. You know what I mean?
Because it activate a different part of the brain.
Yeah, it was just too much. So I stopped watching. I didn't feel like watching it. So I was like,
I think it's because everything that's been happening of it. Because I will say that when I did my story, like, you start getting a little bit more, like, you start thinking it in real life. But because fortunately nothing really has happened to me, I still sometimes wake up and I'm like, what should I listen to for Paranormal Activity on podcast? But yeah, there's sometimes that when all you listen to is this and then you research it, it can be exhausting.
Yeah. So I stopped. But yeah, definitely check out the documentary. Check out the movie. Check out the movie on Netflix. It's called Veronica. It has really good reviews. Let us know what you think. I'll be posting all the pictures of this story. It's, you know, pictures that her parents have posted, videos of things moving around. So you guys can see. Let us know your thoughts. It's really, really interesting, the fact that law enforcement was able to record this for the first time ever.
So I'm assuming because it wasn't so long ago that everybody else is still alive, the parents,
her sister, parents, her siblings are all still alive, but but they just moved out of the apartment. They couldn't deal staying there.
Yeah.
And, but they're all doing really well. They do interviews. They do stuff like you know. But yeah, for sure, it's something that's still like people call like an urban legend in Spain. But I don't know how.
I wonder if anything happened to the friends.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think so, because they said that they only saw her inhale the smoke from the board.
I know I don't know this person, but just, you know, from one person to another, I really hope by now she's resting in peace. Just resting in peace. But you know what, guys? If you guys like this episode, please hit those 5 stars. It means a lot if you can, you know, take a minute to write a review. It really, you just need to write a sentence or two. I think Yvette did a great job with her story.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for...
for my final story, guys.
Yes.
I went out with the bang.
Oh.
Yeah, she's...
Get some
Crystal's
ideas out here.
After all that happened to her last night, she still, you know, was brave enough to come out here and talk to us. And yeah, thank you so much, Yvette.
Well, thanks for listening, you guys. I really appreciate you guys letting me vent.
Oh.
And listening to my scary ass story.
Anytime, girl. Please follow us on our IG at Curious Cat Podcast. Feel free to rate and review. It means a lot. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Clink, 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 clink.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to update you that we have our email and IG up and running. Please send your comments and suggestions to thecuriouscatpod@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at Curious Cat Podcast.
Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell a friend.
Stay curious, and remember, curiosity killed the cat.
Wow.